We're holding the top of Lamed Hey, Lamed Aleph. We were learning yesterday a discussion about, we said, in the Mishnah we have Machlokes Reb Eliezer and the Chachamim about whether you can stand, whether you can just, if you're standing and verbally declaring before Shabbos that you're planning to take food, that you're planning to take fruit out of your mukta, out of your storage area where you're drying it, is that good enough or do you actually have to mark it? So we mentioned that, we discussed the idea, isn't there the issue that Shabbos would make a nikbah for Meiser? Once Shabbos begins, then already it becomes required to take Meiser from it. You wouldn't be able to eat from it for that reason alone. And we said that we tried to say, in fact, maybe that's why the Mishnah, in fact, specifically mentions Shmittah, because then that's not an issue. We ended up saying that the Mishnah is mentioning that the Mishnah is mentioning Shabbos rather than just mentioning it in connection with a weekday in order to tell us, incidentally, also that after all, it's not completely off limits because theoretically, if somebody were to take Meiser from it, you would be able to eat it on Shabbos. But now to continue the discussion. So we said yesterday that
how much would you eat?
We're talking about a snack, just a snack. If you're eating a chilas kvah, that's definitely not allowed before you take Meiser from it. When we say ma'aser, we mean truma as well. You're allowed to eat a snack from it, as long as, that's the thing we mentioned yesterday, as long as it's not nigma, well, so we discussed the issue of whether nigma malachtai, that the processing of it is completed, whether that's a given, it always has to be nigma malachtai before any of the other things operate, or is there maybe a difference? We said that maybe Shabbos, Rav Nachman had said that we have an established statement that with Shabbos is not an issue, even if not nigma malachtai.
Have in mind to be Tumor Meiser in another place while we start eating right now.
Okay, I mean, so then, I mean, you can technically separate Tumor and Meiser from Machshava, that's true. In fact, I think there are some Mephoshim who say that comes into play over here also when we're saying that when we're talking about what Shuma and Meiser is available or what's been taken yet, that yeah, because it's possible to do it in Machshava, maybe therefore it's not considered such a tikkun. So the question is, the Gemara says, so what did we end up saying? We ended up saying that the kviyus of this food is not because of Shabbos, but rather because you said, I plan to eat. By saying eating, you mean that you want to make a kviyus of it. So the Gemara asks, v'halo moisra choyzer, but isn't the rest of it going back in there? I mean, here it's not really going back because you're just verbally declaring it in the first place. Nothing was even taken out. But the point is, there's Shaminin Leila Rabbi Eliezer, Amar, we find elsewhere that Rabbi Eliezer says, Kol Hecha, the Moisir Chayza, Loikava, any place where the remainder of it is going to be put back, it's not considered a kliyus. So what are you telling me then that in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer is saying, because you said, Mikanani Oichol Lamacha, therefore it makes a kliyus, and that's why this whole thing only applies during Shemitah year, according to Rabbi Eliezer, If you're finished, if you're going to put back the remainder, then it wasn't a kviyus. So it's not chayav and maaser. So then the Mishnah might as well be talking about a year. Yeah, ditznan. We learn in a Mishnah. And notzel zaysim in a mat. And if somebody takes olives out of the pile, matan actually is a container, like a big bucket that they put the olives into before they press them. Do you want to take some olives from there to eat? You can dip them one at a time into salt, and you can eat them without taking meiser. Usually, salt, we're going to mention at the end of the Amud, that salting food is considered one of the seven things that makes it kavur l'meiser. But here, because it's considered a chash of a way of eating. But here, where you're dipping only one in salt at a time, then that's okay. It's still not considered kviyus, and therefore you can eat them at that point. When the olives are in the matzah, usually truma and meiser won't have been taken from them yet, because not nigma malach, and usually you would only take truma and meiser after it's already been pressed into oil. Vim tovah b'nos on the front of asara, but if you dip a whole bunch of them into salt and put like 10 of them in front of you, then you're chayim, then you're in meiser. But we're not done yet. Rabbi Eliezer, mina matan tahor chayev. Rabbi Eliezer says it depends. If the bucket full of olives was tahor, then you chayev in meiser. Mina matan tomei potter. But if the matan, if the bucket, if all the olives are anyway tomei, then he's potter from meiser and feshu machzer as a meiser. Because even if you took a whole bunch out together, you still plan you're going to eat a few of them and you're going to put the rest back. So it's not considered a kviyus yet.
Rest back in.
That's, we're going to talk in a second because we're talking about that the person himself is Tomei also. Most people in those days were not so careful always to stay tahor, only Yom Tov times. That's why we said, we've talked about before, that only, that Amei Aretz during the rest of the year are considered to be tahor. We'll learn more about that in Chagiga in a few months. But, so that's Vahavinan Ba. So then we, in that discussion, then the Gemara says, we wondered about that. Maishna Reisha or Maishna Sefer. So what's the difference then, why we're saying, why is Rabbi Eliezer making a distinction, whether the bucket is Tomei or Tahar? The Amar of Abo, Reisha Masan Tahar Vagavra Tomei, the first part is talking about where the olives are Tahar, but the person is Tomei. Zolay Motsi Mahadolei, so now he can't put back the olives they took out, because he has already made them Tomei by picking them up, and if he puts them back, he's going to be Matamei all the other ones. Sefer, the Matan Tomei Vagabra Tomei, the second part is talking about where the bucket of olives and the person are all Tomei, the Matan Mahadolei, so therefore he can return it. Now, I mean, it could also have the case where both the Matan and the person are Tahar, but that's not a very common case, so we're not dealing with that. But either way, the point is that Rabbi Eliezer is saying that if you're able to put back the other ones, then it shows it was never a Kvius in the first place, and therefore it's not Nikva L'maisa. Mufarshim asked, by the way, the question, Rashi points out over here, actually, when the person took out, first of all, Rashi points out, when the person took out the olives, if he's Tomei and the olives are Tahar, didn't he make any of the ones that he touched Tomei? So fine, the ones that he took out, but there's some other ones that are in there that he touched that stayed Tomei also. So Rashi said, yeah, you're right, he'd have to scoop those out as well. Tosfos has a more simple answer. He could have taken them out using a piece of wood or something, which is not makabel tumah, not a spoon or something like that, but like a flat piece of wood, which is not makabel tumah. Pouring whatever. No, but we're talking about the whole bucket. You don't pick up the whole bucket and pull a few into your hand. You reach in and scoop out a few. There is a different question Mefarshim asked, is how are these olives becoming tumah anyway? If you think of it as each olive individually, you need a kezias of food to be makabel tumah. Not a kezias, kebetza, rather. A kebetza is bigger than an olive. And if you're talking about that you consider it all one big mass, then once you touch some of them, all of them become tumah anyway. No, they have to be wet. If they'd never become wet, then they wouldn't be in the makabel tumah anyway. But Rashi says that when they put them in this bucket over here, the purpose of it is in order that they'll heat up from being in a pile over there, and that way the oil will come out more easily. You'll get more oil out of them. So presumably while they're sitting there in the bucket, oil is starting to leak out of them already. So they're mokshal makabel tumah. But so they answer that in fact there might be a distinction that as far as the ones that he actually picked out, you could say because you know those actually we consider that to be one unit and therefore that's all makabel tumah because it's more than a kezias, more than a kebetza. I mean, whereas all the other ones we still consider to be separate and therefore the rest of them are not makabel tumah at the same time. The ones that he scooped out and like Rashi says, any of the other ones that he touched are Tomei now, yeah. Anyway, so therefore, the answer is, so yeah, Masnissin Nami Mukta Torah Vagabra Tomei, the Lamotta Mahadalai. Fine, so you can answer also that our Mishnah is talking about where the fruit is Tahar, the person is Tomei, where he's not able to return it. You're asking, doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say that where the fruit is put back, then there's no Kviyas? Fine, in our Mishnah also, you can't put back the fruit. So once you take it out, you won't be able to put it back. However, the question is, what do you mean, once he takes it out? They're already back in there. He didn't take out anything in the first place. All he did was say, I plan to take from here. In our Mishnah, yes. So then, again, going back to then, according to Rabbi Eliezer, then, there's no kriyos for Meiser by just saying, I plan to take from here. So according to him, it's not Nikva Meiser. So you're back to the question, why is the Mishnah saying that this only works during Shemitah rather than the rest of the years? El Amar of Shimi Barashi. So Rav Shimi Barashi gives a different answer. No, let's forget about what we were saying before, that it's his saying, I plan to eat from here, that makes the kriyas. Fine, Shabbos makes the kriyas. But, Rav Eliezer Kamaretz, you're asking about Rav Eliezer's opinion. Rav Eliezer, well, time A, Rav Eliezer is going according to his shitta, Drama Truma Kava V'Kol Shekin Shabbos. He says that Truma, once you take Truma from fruit, then it makes a kriyas for ma'aser, even if it's not nigmur malachdan, v'chol shekin Shabbos, and how much more so Shabbos. Again, like I said yesterday, there are actually seven different things that make it that we consider that the fruit is now kavua as far as ma'aser. The Pharisee gives a simon for it Kisimchas Ein. Kof stands for Kavush, that you pickle them. The Sin, or Shin actually, stands for Shabbos. And Mem stands for Mekach, if you sell them, which we'll talk about soon. Ches stands for Chotzer, where we bring them into your Chotzer. Tav stands for Truma. Once you took truma from this fruit, then already that's considered that you already made a chshivus of it, that now you can't eat anything else from it until you take the rest of the maisers. The aleph stands for ur, which means fire if you cook them, and the mem stands for melach if you dip them in salt.
That makes the
So all those things, even if that's what we're discussing, the question is, do all these things apply even if nigma malachta, only if nigma malachton, or even if not?
Those things can make it already, you have an
obligation to give ma'aser from it, maybe even before nigma malachton. We're saying that Rabbi Eliezer holds that truma is one of those things, that it works even when not nigma malachton. If he holds that by truma, how much more so Shabbos? Why? Because what's the reason? Why each of these things makes it a kvius? Because each of these things makes it that somehow you've made it, you've effectively declared that you want this to be considered something important. Eating it in salt, for example, means you're actually sitting down and eating it as a proper meal, not just snacking on it. Cooking it, same idea. Pickling it, etc. Shabbos, since the pasuk says the karosel Shabbos oneg, that you should make Shabbos a delight. Means, in other words, that any eating on Shabbos, even a snack on Shabbos, has chshivus like a meal the rest of the week. So therefore, if he holds it, so therefore it has a chshivus. So therefore, if even taking truma from it makes it important enough already, you've effectively said, you know what, even though there is theoretically more processing to be done on this, I decided, you know what, I'm just going to cut things short and give truma to the kohen at that point, and we're saying already that makes it important enough that then you're chayev to give all the other maestros before you even eat a snack from it. How much more so he would say that about Shabbos? Because Shabbos alone is important enough to make it, yeah. The Tanan, and where do we see that? Rabbi Eliezer holds that about Truma. Peres Shatorim Natchla Nigma Malachton, a fruit that you took Truma from it before the processing was completed. Rabbi Eliezer Oysa Lachal Me'an Arai. Rabbi Eliezer says you're not allowed to eat a snack from them. Vacham Matirin. And the Chum says Mutter. So we see then that he holds that Truma makes it Kavur for Meiser even before Nigma Malachton. So therefore, he would hold the same thing as far as Shabbos. So yes, he, in our Mishnah, would have to say then that his rule only applies head of Shabbos b'Shvi'is. Yes, theoretically, the Chachamim could say that we will allow this even during the other years. They didn't want to do that as we said yesterday, and as we're going to say again soon, because we don't want people to think that you're allowed to take ma'aser from it on Shabbos. But the reason why we're mentioning the case of Shvi'is is because according to Rabbi Eliezer, that's the only time it would work. Because according to him, as soon as Shabbos comes, even if it's not completely ready yet, it's aser to eat. No, he's making the declaration before Shabbos, but that's the thing. If he wants to take from it on Shabbos, by that time, it'll already be kavur.
But in other words, before he even takes, he has to give ma'aser right there.
But he can't take ma'aser on Shabbos, so then he'll be stuck. If he does truma and ma'aser before Shabbos, fine. But that's why in Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer had said, in order to avoid the whole problem of truma and ma'aser, that's why he mentioned Shvi'is.
Because during the year, it would be a problem.
Because during the year, yeah, how would you do it? Although it is interesting, actually, the Mishnah Lamelach has a long discussion about this in Rambam and Hilchos Ma'aser. Because actually, we'll get to it. Let's talk about it soon in connection with the Machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, because the Mishnah Lamelach has an interesting take on there might be cases, he says, where you are allowed to take Ma'aser on Shabbos. We'll get back to that soon. So, Toshma mi Sefer, come, let's bring a proof from the end of the Mishnah. V'cham v'arim v'ach yirshim yirma mekanav adkan. V'cham said you actually have to mark and say, I'm going to take from here till here. Which, again, the Mishnah was talking about Shemitah. Time at Erev Shabbos b'Shvi'is, Salav v'Arisurehu. Why does this work if you make a mark beforehand? Because during Shemitah year, so there's no Trumas and Nisus to deal with. Habashav Shnei Shavua, but during the other weeks, during the other years of the cycle, the Bnei Yisurin Ninhu, where you'd have to take Meiser, Asurim. Presumably, the Chachamim would agree that the food is Asur. My time, and now why is that? Lav Mishum to Shabbos Kaba. Wouldn't that be because Shabbos makes the Kviyas? And that would mean even according to the Chachamim, not just according to Rabbi Eliezer, but even according to the Chachamim, Shabbos would be Kveyeh for Meiser. Yes. Now that we said, right, given that we said before, now, Now, the Gemara could have answered. I mean, we said before that Rabbi Eliezer holds that we're going to put back the rest of it. It's not considered clear. The Chachamim don't agree with that. So they might, you know, the Gemara might have used that answer. That, you know, the fact is, you know, if you take some and you put some back, it's still already kavua. But the reason why the Gemara doesn't say that is because, in the end, like the Gemara said, like we said before, he didn't actually take anything out of there. He only said anything. Even the Chachamim won't agree that just saying that makes clear already. So therefore, necessarily, the only they won't. So therefore, the only thing that can possibly make it clear in our Mishnah is Shabbos.
How would Shabbos make it clear on the basis?
That's what we said. Because the Kodosh of Shabbos owning, because there's a mitzvah to eat and drink on Shabbos. Therefore, even eating a snack on Shabbos is considered the equivalent of a real meal any other time. And therefore, you're obligated to give ma'aser from it.
So
the Shabbos meeting on Shabbos, yeah. So the Gemara answers no. The Gemara tries the same possibility. Loi shiny hosim kiven domim kanvad kanani oichel lamacher. Since he's saying I plan to eat from here till here tomorrow, and again he's using the word eating, kavod loi, then that makes it clear, like we argued yesterday. And again, going through the same thing, yichosim ma'iria Shabbos afilu b'chol nami. Well, then why would the Mishnah have to specify Shabbos? Let it say the same machloikas on weekdays also, because on weekdays also, if you say that, we're saying it would make it clear. And the answer is hakamashmal la the tevel mochon hoitzel Shabbos. Again, we're saying that tevel is considered ready, it's considered usable on Shabbos in the sense that shem over v'tikne mesukah. If somebody were to go and be over and take ma'isa from it, then you would be allowed to eat it on Shabbos. If you yourself did, that's a different thing. If you yourself take truma and ma'isa on Shabbos, then you're not allowed to eat it till Motzei Shabbos. So it's a knas. But if somebody else does it, even with your permission, let's say, then you're able to eat from it. So therefore, the obviously we're talking arai. Yeah. No. Once ma'isa is taken, then once ma'isa is taken, you can eat as much as you want from it. But that's why the Mishnah had specifically mentioned Shabbos, because that tells us two things. Number one, that during the rest of the year, you do have this issue of Meiser, because Shabbos will be Teveh, or because you're saying will be Teveh, as the case may be. And number two, we're mentioning Shabbos because even on Shabbos, there's no issue of Muktzah over here, even though you didn't take Meiser from it before Shabbos. Because there is a way to remove that status by taking off truma and ma'aser. The Gemara says, Uraminhi. Now, I have a contradiction between two statements of Rabbi Eliezer himself. One Mishnah says, Haya oichel ba'eshkol v'nichnas beginu l'chatzah. If a person was eating from a cluster of grapes, and he walked in, he walked from the garden into his chatzah. Now, Rashi takes the view that the cluster of grapes here we're talking about are not yet nigmur melachton, because grapes usually you would press them to make wine. So when you're eating grapes, then it's not yet nigmur melachton, but you brought it into the chatzer, which a chatzer is one of the seven things that's keveyeh from Eiser. So what? They do, but ordinarily, so Rashi is taking the view that the grapes we're talking about over here are ones that were grown for wine. Right, not everybody agrees with that. There are other Mefarshim who learn, there are other Mefarshim who learn that we're talking about over here, these grapes are in fact Nigma Melachton.
We
talked about a kaifa in connection with gathering wood. We said yesterday that when the fruit is brought into the house or into the chaser, then that's keveya. That's one of the things that's keveya for ma'aser. Yeah. Mefarshim discussed the question. The house is definitely daraisa. Whether the chaser is also daraisa or only derabanan is a question. Anyway. So if you say that these grapes are not yet nigma melachton, then that's the machloikas, whether chaser works on nigma melachton. If you say it's already nigma melachton because you're eating them, so obviously you're not planning to do anything else with them, then the machloikas is slightly differently. The fact that you went into the chaser, are you allowed now to go out of the chaser and finish eating it? Or is it once you went into the chaser, then that's it? You're stuck. It's kaveh, yeah.
It's nigma melachton, and
yeah.
It's
well, that's the question, whether it's nigma melachton or not, right. Yeah.
Does this happen on Shabbos, or...?
No, we're talking on a weekday. So, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yigmer, Rabbi Eliezer says you're allowed to finish it off, Rabbi Yeshua Omer Lo Yigmer, and Rabbi Yeshua says you're not. So Rabbi Eliezer says you're allowed to finish it. If we're saying that it's Lo Yigmer Melachter, then the reason is, because Rabbi Eliezer is saying that a Chotzer is not Kaveya, when it's not Nigmer Melachter. If you say that it's already nigma malach, because these are grapes, these are grapes that you're eating, so therefore it's obviously you're not planning to do anything else with them. Rabbi Eliezer is saying you're allowed to leave the chaser and go back into the garden and finish eating over there. Because the fact that you happen to walk into the chaser is that you didn't mean to bring it in there really. You know, you were just kind of wandering around, and therefore you're allowed to go out and finish.
You cannot come back. And...
yeah. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua is saying not. You'd have to take off ma'aser first.
It's not a matter that once you bring it back.
No, but that's the thing. According to this way of looking at it, Rabbi Eliezer is saying basically you didn't mean to bring it in there. You accidentally you were wandering around and you walked in there. That's, you know. Then we have another one. Choshcha Leila Shabbos. If it gets dark on Friday night while you're eating these grapes, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yigmer, Rabbi Yeshua Omer Lo Yigmer. Here we're not talking about Chatzir, here we're just talking about Shabbos. And here it's the other way around. Rabbi Eliezer is saying you're allowed to finish them. Rabbi Yeshua is saying you're not allowed to finish them. So therefore we have a contradiction then. So we have then that, so now on the one hand, Rabbi Eliezer is saying that Chatzir works even if it's Nigma Malachdan. On the other hand, we're saying that Shabbos doesn't. Right. That's the contradiction.
Well, she can Shabbos.
Yeah. The answer is Hossam could any time. The reason for that is because we learn a braisa on that, which gives the reason. Rab Nassanimer, Loikash Amar Rabbi Eliezer Yigmar Bachotzer Yigmar. When Rabbi Eliezer says you're allowed to finish, it doesn't mean you're allowed to finish it in the Chotzer. It means Ela Yotze Chut Bachotzer Yigmar. It means you have to take it out of the Chotzer, and there you can finish it off. In the first case, where you walked into the Chotzer, that's what we were saying. Even if it's Loik Nigmar Malachzer, you're still not allowed to finish it in the Chotzer. Fine, you wandered into the chotzer by mistake, but fine. So fine, Rabbi Eliezer will allow you to go out with it. You still have to go out. V'loy kashamar Rabbi Eliezer yigmar b'Shabbos yigmar. And also, when Rabbi Eliezer says about finishing it, he doesn't mean you're allowed to finish off the grapes on Shabbos itself, because yes, Shabbos itself will have made it kavua. Elamam tin l'matzah Shabbos v'yigmar, which means you have to wait till matzah Shabbos, then you're allowed to finish him. So in other words, he is saying that the Chotzer and Shabbos are Kaveya, but he's saying basically you can kind of undo that Kvius afterwards.
This, the Kvius of the Shabbos is only if you actually start eating it. If Shabbos happens to go by and it's there.
No. Because we talked about before the Muchtzah, where you didn't start eating it before Shabbos, where they're the ones in the Mishnah. You didn't start eating them before Shabbos, but we were discussing that Shabbos is Kaveya for Meiser. No, the difference is, Tosfos says like this. No, anything that wasn't Meisered becomes as a kvius when Shabbos comes. It's nikvah l'maiser. The difference is, we talked yesterday about that case where kids put away some figs intending to eat them on Shabbos, and then they forgot them and then finding them till Matzah Shabbos, where we said they have to take off maiser. The difference is, Tosfos says, there they actually set them aside to eat on Shabbos. In our Mishnah with the Muktzah, you didn't actually do anything. You just stood there and said, I plan to eat from them. In our case of you didn't specifically intend to eat these grapes on Shabbos. You were eating them Erev Shabbos. So yes, Shabbos comes, they become kavur l'maaser. Comes after Shabbos, they go back to being they go back to being lo nigma malach, and you're allowed to eat from them.
No, if you didn't do anything.
Why after Shabbos?
No. Because you didn't specifically designate them to eat on Shabbos.
Why did he have to leave them?
In the case of the chotzer, because the chotzer is not kaveya, because not nigma malachdon. But even so, he says he's saying, you know, don't eat in the chotzer. You because we don't want you to get confused and think that in the future you're going to eat in the chotzer even if nigma malachdon. And according to the opinion that they are nigma malachdon, there's no question you have to leave the chotzer. But according to Rashi's explanation that it's lo nigma malachdon, Rashi doesn't say why, but Pashas, the reason would be because you don't want him to get confused for the future. It's interesting. So this is what I was going to say before: is the Rambam seems to have a different girsa over here of what exactly Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua said in the respective cases. And the Mishnah, the Mefarshim over there have a long discussion of what the Rambam exactly holds. Does he hold that Shabbos is Kaveya only when Nigma Malachdan or not? And what does he hold as far as Chotzer? So the one interesting idea the Mishnah Melech brings up based on our Gemara over here, that maybe there is a possibility in this case over here, when we're talking about you eating grapes before Shabbos and you want to continue on Shabbos, when we're saying Yigmar, that it might actually mean that we will allow him to take Maaser from it on Shabbos. He says, why? Because since, part of the idea is, given that the whole idea of why Shabbos is kevei lemaaser is because the korosel of Shabbos oneg, that the eating on Shabbos is supposed to be an important thing. If you're going to tell them stop eating these grapes because you haven't taken maaser, that kind of defeats the whole purpose of making korosel of Shabbos oneg. Better you should allow them to take maaser and be able to continue eating. And he explains that
oneg more important than maaser or vice versa.
That's basically what he's discussing. And in that case, we might allow him to. Yeah.
Because
that's not the main thing he's mentioning about Oneg being more important. It's a side argument that he's mentioning in the course of explaining the Rambam's Shita on this business of Shabbos being Tevea or not Tevea. Kiyasa Ravin Amar Rabbi Yechanan, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said that Rabbi Yechanan had said, Echad Shabbos, Ve'echad Truma, Ve'echad Chotze, Ve'echad Mekach, all four of these things, Shabbos, Truma, Chotzer, and Mekach, buying and selling, Kulam, and Kovin, Elabadavish, and Nigma Malachdan, all of them are only Kaveh for Meister with something where the processing has already been finished. Which for one of those is, the one about Shabbos actually contradicts what we said yesterday, what Rav Nachman had said, that Limud Oruch Ubiyadenu, we have a known fact in our hands that Shabbos is Kaveh whether Nigma Malachdan or not. Yeah. So again, first of all, Rabbi Yechon is allowed to argue with Rav Nachman, but besides that, also there are Mefarshim who discuss the possibility they might be talking about two different cases. Rav Nachman might be talking about eating it on Shabbos itself, and Rabbi Yechon might be talking about, are you allowed to eat it after Shabbos? But these are four of the seven things. Rabbi Yechon is not mentioning the other three things, probably because the Gemara is going to point out over here the reason he has to mention all these four is because of machloekas about each of these four. The pashtus with the other three, there may not be a machloekas. The pickling, salting, or cooking them, those everybody might agree that it only applies to Davish and Gemara. Yeah.
It's only those.
So Shabbos la pokemi de hilo. When he says that Shabbos is only applies to something that's Nigma Malachta, that comes to contradict, that comes to tell us not like what Hillel says. Tanya, we learn in a brisa. Amar peiros from makom al makom lichtzer. If a person is gathering fruit from one place to from one place to another in the chotzer, the word lichtzer literally means to harvest them. But that's if you're gathering them, what are you harvesting them for? So there's a girsa that it says it here on the side that the girsa should actually be lichtzeis. That you're gathering these figs in order to make figs, in order to make dried figs out of them.
Amar means
gathering them. It means like bundling them together. So you're gathering them together on Erev Shabbos, for Kaddish Alei and Ayayim, and then the day of Shabbos is beginning. Rabbi Yehuda Hillel La'atzmei Oitzer. So Rabbi Yehuda says that Hillel himself says it's awesome, meaning only Hillel, everybody else in his dur argued with him. Which Tosfos points out, that's actually why we're mentioning Hillel. We could have also mentioned Rabbi Eliezer, because we said before that Rabbi Eliezer holds that Shabbos is Kaveh Abdavash and Lending Mamalachta, we said before. But Rabbi Eliezer, of course, the halacha may not be like him. Rabbi Eliezer, most often the halacha is not like him because he's from Talmid Beit Shammai. The chiddush is over here that Hillel, that we don't follow that, then yeah. Mind you, the Marak Chaya says that the Hillel we're mentioning over here is not necessarily the famous Hillel, the Chaver of Shammai, because he says we find there were only a few machlokas in between Hillel and everybody else. We don't find really a widespread thing. There were machlokas in between Hillel and the other Chachmei Adur. So he argues that this might have been a later Hillel. Anyway, so Rabbi Yechon is telling us the halacha is not like Hillel. Everybody else argued with him, and therefore Shabbos only is keveya for Meiser if it's nigma malachta, if the processing is finished. Chotzer la'apukim mid Rabbi Yaakov. When Rabbi Yechon said that chotzer only works when it's nigma malachta, that comes to tell us not like what Rabbi Yaakov says. It's not. We learned in a Mishnah. We learned this yesterday. Hamavet ha'enim ha'chotzer l'chotzer. It's a person. Mid Rabbi Yaakov. Yeah.
What do we want to do?
We want to say that chotzer only works if it's nigma malachta, only if the processing is finished. Not like Rabbi Yaakov. It's not. We learn in a Mishnah. Hamavetein in b'chotzer lichtzer. If a person is passing through his chotzer holding figs which he's going to dry, we said his children and the other members of his household are allowed to eat a snack from it, a pruman amaiser, and they are part of a maaser. And again, we said yesterday they're allowed to. He may not be because he can decide to not dry them. He may decide to leave them fresh, but they don't have, right? Right. And the Tony Allah, and we learn a bright on that, Rabbi Yaakov Machayev, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Poitner. The Sam Mishnah says that they're potter, but actually in a bright it says that Rabbi Yaakov says you're chayev, even though it's not Nigma Malachta. if Rabbi Yochanan is saying that that's not so, that's only if Nigmar Malachto, then he's telling us that halacha is not like Rabbi Yaakov. Truma la pukim midrab Eliezer. When he says that truma is that truma only works if it's Nigmar Malachto, only then is it kavur for Meiser, and you can't eat a snack from it, that comes to tell us not like Rabbi Eliezer. So here we have no choice. Tosfos says here we have no choice to say Rabbi Eliezer because there's nobody else who holds that way. Before we had a choice between mentioning Rabbi Eliezer and mentioning Hillel, we preferred to mention Hillel. So what do we see Rabbi Eliezer says? It's an unpaid, we said before, Peres Shatarman Ashla Nimu Malachta, and fruit that you took Truma for from before the Malacha of it was finished. Rabbi Eliezer Oysa Lechem and Arai, Rabbi Eliezer says you're not allowed to eat a snack from it. Vacham Matir, and Macham says Mutter. So we see Rabbi Eliezer holds, it's clearly not Nigma Malachta, because that's what the Mishnah is saying. And Rabbi Eliezer says at that point, once you take Truma, then already you're obligated to take the rest of the Maestros before you can eat from it. Vacham say not. The Halacha is like the Chacham, Rabbi Yechim is telling us. No, that's what we're saying. Up until Nigmar Malachton, you're allowed to eat a snack from it. Provided that, until Nigmar Malachton, you're allowed to eat a snack from it. Once Nigmar Malachton, in order for it to be chayev and nicer, you need to have one of these seven things happen. And the fourth one. Nekach, where do we see when Rabbi Yochanan is saying that buying it only makes it chayev and ma'aser and truma and ma'aser once nigma malachton? What is that? What's the reference? Kiddush Nahano Kiddushanya Halakeach Peinim Ma'am Aretz. A person buys figs from an Ma'am Aretz. In a place where most of them press them into cakes. They used to, we mentioned before, that people used to dry dates, or actually figs we're saying over here rather. They would dry figs into kaseiros that we're mentioning all this time, like lixos. Then they would press them into these big round cakes. Yeah, and then they'd slice off pieces from it as they needed. So in a place where most people do that, so therefore when you buy just plain figs, it's not nigma malachton. Then you can eat a snack from it, and when it comes to taking ma'aser from it, you take ma'aser as d'mai, because you follow the usual rule when you bought it from an amaret. The whole concept of d'mai is that during the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, Yochanan Kohen Gadol checked things out and found everybody was giving truma, but and the majority of amaret were giving ma'aser as well, all the proper ma'aser, but there was a significant minority of amaret who were not giving ma'aser. So therefore, that's where the concept of d'mai came. D'mai comes from d'mai, which means like, what is this? Although I once saw a different interesting explanation that comes from it comes from the Greek word demos, like the root of the word democracy, and a bunch of other words in English, because it means like what you bought from the people. Anyway, whatever it is. So the idea with d'mai is you don't have to take off truma, because everybody was taking off truma. You do have to take off the maestros. Maester rishon, you have to separate it, but you don't have to give it to the levi, because he would have to prove that he's entitled to it. But you do have to take off truma's maester from it and give that to the kohen, because that's chayiv, a zohar who eats it is chayiv mesa. You have to separate maester sheni and do the usual with it, take it to your shalayim or exchange it for money, etc. And during the third and sixth year, you have to take off maester oni instead of maester sheni. Again, you don't have to give it to the poor people for the same reason. They would have to prove that it wasn't maester. They would have to prove that, yeah, in order for you to have to give it to them, they would have to prove that it was that the original owner, that the original amaret who grew it didn't maester it. That's the gist of d'mai. The whole masechta. That's it. They can't as a practical matter. That's why you don't have to. That's why you don't have to. You have to separate the ma'aser, only have to designate it, but you don't have to give it to the anis. As opposed to ma'aser sheni, there's an ister d'oraisa that you're not allowed to eat it outside of your shalayim. So therefore you have to be on the safe side. You have to. Yeah. Anyway, so shmamina plus. So we see three things from that mishnah. Shmamina mechachena kevas el b'davish nigma malachta. Number one, we see, actually not in Mishnah, Braisa rather, we see from this Braisa, number one, which is Rabbi Yochanan's point, that when you're buying, it's not chayev and meiser when it's not nigma malachta. In this case, you bought these figs, most people dry them and press them, you bought them fresh, so they're not nigma malachta. And the Mishnah is saying you're allowed to eat a snack from them. The Braisa, rather, is saying you're allowed to eat a snack from them. So that shows that Nekach, which is one of the seven things, is only Kevea, only if it's Nigma Malachti. Up until Nigma Malachti, you'd still be allowed to eat a snack even though you bought it. Even though you would think buying already creates a Chshivus in it. Number two, we see that this is a general thing we see throughout Shas, that most Amei Aretz do take off Meiser, because otherwise you would have to say, what do you mean you take off Meiser as Demai? You'd have to take off Trumah and Meiser as if it was Vaday. The fact that most Amei Aretz take off Meiser is why you can get away with the Demai rules. And the third thing is that we learn from this, Ma'asr and Demai, Me'am Ha'aretz Afilu B'davash Lening Me'malachtoi, that you do have to take off only Meiser of Demai from Amei Ha'aretz, even if it was not Nigma Me'malachtoi. Now here we're kind of using the logic the other way. We were saying before, we mentioned yesterday, and then we've been going all this time, that normally, something that's not Nigma Me'malachtoi, normally Truma and Meiser will not have been taken from it yet. Now in our case of here, you bought these figs from an Amei Ha'aretz. Even if this is one of the Amei Aretz, even if this is one of the majority of them who do take off Truma and Meiser, you wouldn't expect necessarily that he already took off Truma and Meiser, because not Nigma Malachta. Nevertheless, the Braisa is telling us you can be makel on that and assume that he did. Now, why is that? Rashi says, because after all, you have some people who do take off Meiser, Truma and Meiser before Gemar Malacha, before Nigma Malachta. So therefore, you're able to rely on that. What do you mean? Why?
I mean, in general, you cannot.
In general, you can't rely on that. But here, where the whole thing is demai anyway, then we can. Actually, one of the Mefarshim says an idea here. Since the Amei Aretz is selling it, again, if we assume that this is one of the Amei Aretz who's careful about Truma and Meiser, then he'll know that before he sells it, he'll know that selling it already creates a chiyuv of Meiser on it. Because we said that selling does not create a chiyuv ma'aser because not nigma malachtoi. But nevertheless, before he sells it, we have a right to assume that before he sells it, he will have taken truma and ma'aser in order not to be machshel you later.
He doesn't have to do it for himself.
Technically, he doesn't have to because not nigma malachtoi. But we can assume there is at least reason to assume that he will have, and therefore, so you still have to take ma'aser to be on the safe side. But it's only d'mai, and you are allowed to and you are allowed to eat the snack from it. So Rabbi Yochanan is telling us that halacha is like that brisa, and he's telling us not like the following Mishnah. The Tanan, we learn in the Mishnah, Hamachlif Peresim Chaverei, if a person is exchanging fruit with somebody else, which amounts to buying and selling it, Zelechol Zelechol, where each of them is exchanging it, intending to eat what he got, or Zelechlitzais or Zelechlitzais, or each one of them plans to dry them, the figs, let's say, and they plan to dry them, or zelachol zelektos, or one plans to eat them and the other one plans to dry them. The one who's going to eat them means for him it's already nigma malachtoi, for the other one it's not. In all those cases, chayev. In all those cases, the Tanakama, they are saying that mekach is keveya. That's what Rabbi Yechon is trying to tell us, that not the halach is not like that Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lecho chayev liktos potter. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that if you plan to eat it, whichever one plans to eat it, he at that point is chayev and meiser, because at that point it's nigma malachtoi, and so therefore the mekach is one of the seven things, and it made a kavur for meiser. Whereas the other one who's planning liktos to dry it, it's not nigma malachtoi, therefore the mekach doesn't do anything. And so Rabbi Yehuda is telling us that the halach is like Rabbi Yehuda.
After it's dried,
then you'll be chayev and meiser, yeah. Then it'll be gemar malacha, yeah. Hadron Malacha, maybe.
You'll be able to eat them fresh without drying.
So if that's the thing, if you plan to eat them fresh, then it's Nigma Malachta. That's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. But if you plan it, you're allowed to eat a snack. You say you're not allowed to eat a snack from it, because at that point it's Nigma Malachta, and there's been Nekach. There's been one of the seven things. But if not, then not. Yeah. Mishnah says this last perek is going to obviously still dealing with dinim of Yom Tov. A good part of the perek, actually, the next Mishnah is going to be very interesting, because it deals with a bunch of things with a bunch of miscellaneous things that are also on Yom Tov, some of which we've touched on throughout the Masechta. The last few Mishnayos of the perek are mostly going to be dealing with the dinim of Tchumen on Yom Tov, where we talk about Tchumen and Erevin, but here we're going to be focusing more on the Tchumen of objects. You can't carry on Shabbos, so there's no reason to have those in Dinei Shabbos, but on Yom Tov, since you can carry, then the dinim of what Tchumim apply to objects is more negeah. That's why it's here.
Object.
Meaning, in other words, when...
Keli,
yeah, or food or anything. If I own this bottle of soda, I'm not allowed to walk more than a certain distance on Yom Tov outside the city. Neither is somebody else allowed to take this bottle of soda more than a certain distance outside the city, even if they themselves are allowed to walk that distance.
I don't want you to do a delivery.
Yes. But those will be later. Those will be later, Mishnayos. We'll start dealing with those actually on Tuesday. For now, the first Mishnah, Mashilim Peres Derech Aruba B'Yamtiv. You are allowed to throw down fruit through a skylight on Yamtiv. Avaloy b'Shabbos, but not on Shabbos. So what are we talking about? We're talking about over here. You have, for example, Rashi says wheat or barley lying out on your roof to dry out. You see that rain is about to come. If it stays out there, it's gonna get wet and disgusting and moldy. So what you want to do is you have a skylight in the middle of your roof. You want to open up the skylight and throw all of the wheat and barley and whatever down through that. So you can do that on Yom Tov. You can do that on Yom Tov, but not on Shabbos. So it is in a way letzarech ha'chol nefesh because I mean they're needed for food. But the point is, just putting it through a skylight, there's not that much tircha. As opposed to, we'll talk about, Rashi mentioned it briefly over here, we'll talk about it more tomorrow, that if you have to bring them in through a window, if you have to pass them, for example, from one roof to another through a window, that you're not allowed to do. That's too much tircha.
Regardless of the amount, if you go to the...
Amount, we'll talk about soon. We'll talk about it in the Gemara. Well, mechasim peiros b'kelim if nadelef, you're allowed to cover fruit with kelim, with claw, with tarps or utensils or whatever, because when there's a leak in the roof, again, you know, if the rain leaks on them, it's gonna damage them. Many mefarshim say this applies. This part applies even on Shabbos, and that's brought in Shulchan Aruch. No, we're talking about Hasid Maman. But to throw them down through the skylight, that is a certain amount of tircha, and therefore we're not going to allow that on Shabbos. But to cover them with tarps or whatever, that's much less of a tircha, and therefore that will allow even on Shabbos. And the same thing with jugs of wine or oil, the same thing. If there's a leak from the roof, which again, the leak can damage them, then you're allowed to cover them. And you're also allowed to put a keli under the leak on Shabbos to prevent the house from getting all dirty and wet.
In other words, these things seem to be causing the leak on the roof?
No. No, we're talking a number of different dinim. This mission is talking about a number of different dinim that have to do with rain. One is where you have stuff on top of the roof and you want to bring it inside because of the rain. All the other ones are where the rain is inside the house. The rain is leaking in.
And the food is where?
So the food is inside the house. So you want to cover it with a tarp, or you want to, and also you have your floor is going to get all wet and disgusting, and so you want to put a bucket underneath it. As far as the bucket, actually, the Rambam says, and this is brought as halacha in Shulchan Aruch, that you can only do that. We'll talk about it actually tomorrow, more in the Gemara. This only works if the water is clean enough that you could use it for some purpose, like for washing or whatever.
We had this shul.
Yeah. Because if it, so I don't know how, so I don't know what, so I mean this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, maybe, I mean the average person might not wash in it, but I suppose it's possible to, I don't know, I'll have to look more into that din, I guess, how that works as far as putting a bucket under a leak. So, first of all, the Gemara is going to deal with a linguistic point from the Mishnah. Itmar, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nosson, chad toni mashilin v'chad toni mashchilin. Between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nosson, one of them learned the first word of our Mishnah as mashilin, and the other one as mashchilin. Well, they're two different words, but actually, Omar Mazutra, man toni mashilin le'mishtavish, and man toni mashchilin le'mishtavish. Actually, neither one is wrong. Either one can be justified, because both the word mashilin and the word mashchilin can mean to bring, to lower something down. By the way, are we just talking about, Mepharshim discussed whether we're talking about over here that you're just allowed to throw them down through the skylight, or are you even allowed to, let's say, put them in a container and lower down using a rope?
That would be what?
No, they would be the same thing, but we're going to say that the word mashilin and the word mashchilin both mean to bring something down. Mandatoni mashilin le'mishtabesh, the one who says mashilin is not wrong, dichtiv ki yishal zeisecha, because we find in the Tarchicha that it says that your olive trees will drop their fruit. So we see that the shard of shin lamed means to drop, and that would be the word mashilin. Uman detani mashchilin lemishtabish, and the one who says mashchilin is also not wrong. Detanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Bechoros, where it talks over there about the various mumim that make an animal unfit to be brought as a carbon. It says hashochol v'hakosol, and shochol means shenishmita yirecha. Shochol means an animal where its hip got dislocated. So now it's like down, it's further down than it should be. So we say that shachol means to bring something down. And kosol means sha'achas mi'achotik v'yim achavacha, means that one hip is higher than the other. The difference between a mefarshim say is that shachol means is something that happened after, it's something that happened later on, that the, something that happened later on, the animal was injured, and its hip was injured. Kosol would be that it was born that way. Either way, it's possible for a carbon. It's a mum. So we see that the word shachol means to bring down, and therefore in our Mishnah mashchilin would also mean you can bring down the food.
We think it's displaced.
Yeah, but the Mishnah is displaced, so it's like further down, it's out of the socket, it's not where it should be. Amar Rav Nachman, it's like Rav Nachman points out there's more possible words you could use in the Mishnah. Manditani mashirin la mishtabish. If you say also in the word mashirin with a resh, you also wouldn't be wrong. Or manditani mashirin la mishtabish. And if you say mashirin, you're also not wrong. Or manditani manshirin la mishtabish. And if you say the word manshirin, you also wouldn't be wrong. Why? Because all those also mean to bring down. Manditani mashirin la mishtabish. Titnan, we learn in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, nazir la yachol feroshib adama. A nazir is not allowed to rub his hair with adama, with a kind of clay that they used to use in those days for shampoo or something. Because it causes hair to fall out. And a nazir is not allowed to, he's not allowed to shave his hair, he's not allowed to do anything to make his hair, to make his hair come out. So we see that the word mashir means to cause to fall out. So the same thing, in our Mishnah, mashirin would mean to make them fall through the skylight. The word mashchirin also wouldn't be wrong. It's now, we learn in another Mishnah, hashachar v'azug shal saparim, a shachar, which means a razor, v'azug shal saparim, or scissors, a barber's scissors, afkishin nechlaku, even if they're divided in half, tmein, then there's still makabal truma, because each half of them, like if you think of a scissors, each blade of it can be used on its own. And the same thing with this razor, that it's called a shachar. Why? Because it's mashchir, it causes the hair to fall down. So we see that the word mashchirin means to make it fall down. So therefore it's still makabel truma because each part could be used separately. Tosfos quotes Rashi, although we don't have it here in Rashi, that the shachar is actually a razor that has a detachable handle. And therefore, Tosfos quotes Rashi as saying that it means that if the handle and the razor get detached from each other, each one is makabel truma. And Tosfos says, why? What could you do with the handle by itself? So Tosfos has a different explanation that a zug is large scissors and a shachar is a small scissors. So either way, it's a pair of scissors, so it amounts to the same thing. If you break it in half, you can still use each blade by itself. And some of the other
one becomes summy. So if it's separated from the other one still becomes.
No, but it means no. If I care, it means that if one of them becomes if they're broken in half and something tummy touches one of them, it becomes tummy. You don't say it's like a broken cable.
If meaning what?
If the piece that was touched.
Not the other one,
obviously, because right. No near there. But it's in other words, if you were to take a cup and break it, for example, it's not makabel tumah because it's a broken cable. But here, even the broken scissors, each part is makabel tumah because it can be used on its own. So some of Farshim answered that, right, Rashi wouldn't mean to say that the handle would be a kabbal terma by itself, just that the razor would, because you could use it without the handle. Anyway, so we see that the word shachar means to bring down, means to make fall down. Or manditani manashirin la mishtabish, and then if you say the word manashirin, you're also not wrong. It's nan misha noshu kelev amayim, a person whose clothes fall into water on Shabbos, mahalach behem, he can continue walking with them. They're in a choshish, and he doesn't have to worry. Rashi says he doesn't have to worry that people will be choshed that he washed them on Shabbos. Other mafarshim say, I think the Rambam says that it means he doesn't have to worry about that he might squeeze them out as he's walking. So we see that the word nashru means to fall, and so therefore manshirin would mean to make fall. Inami, or another possibility, mahadatnan. We have another Mishnah that says ezer leket hanoshe b'shach tzira. What is leket is the pieces of wheat, the stalks of wheat or barley or whatever that fall, that noshir while you're harvesting. So we see the word the shodesh nunshin resh means to fall. Some of the mafarshim on Chumash say that's why an eagle or a vulture is called nesher. In Hebrew, not so much because it falls on its prey, but because its feathers on its head fall out. In particular, actually, many mefarshim say, even though we usually think of a nesher as an eagle, there are many mefarshim who say that actually a nesher is a vulture, and vultures have bald heads; they have no feathers on their head, so it looks like it all fell out. Yeah. Now, why do we need two different proofs for this one? That we needed the Mishan Noshu Caleb Amayim and the Ezer Ulaket. Tosfos says, in fact, that because with the Mishan Noshu Caleb Baderech, not necessarily would you punctuate the word Shenoshu. You could also punctuate Shenishu, that they were soaked in water, Maloshan Shriya. In that case, it's not the same Shurdish. That's why we have to bring another one, Ezer Ulaket, Anoshu, Bashat Siddur, where there's no question it's the same Shurdish. For the Yishal, we did. Yishal Zeisecha. Tanan, so we learned in the Mishnah, Mashilim Teres Derech Arubu B'Yamtiv, that you're allowed to throw down the fruit through the skylight on Yamtiv. Ad Kama, how much are you, this is your question, how much are you allowed to, how much are we talking about, but it's not considered too much Techa. Amr Abzeira, Amr Abasi, Va'amri Lo Amr Abasi, Amr Abyechanan, Ka'oysa Shashaninu, it's similar to what we learned in the Mishnah and Shabbos. Mefan and Abu B'chomish Kupis Chol Shevin Rishol Tavur, you're allowed to clear away four or five boxes of straw or grain, Mepnei Orchim, when you need room for Orchim. You invited a bunch of Orchim and you don't have room to put them. Or Mepnei Bittol Beis Medrash, or because you need room for Talmidim to sit and learn. And each of these boxes is fairly large. We learned there. I think it said there in Shabbos. We also have a thing in Shkolim that each of these boxes might be as much as three saw, which is 50 pounds. So we're talking a huge amount. So we're saying then that the same thing would apply over here. Even if you're talking four or five boxes worth of fruit, it would be allowed. You might ask, why? The dill shiny hosam. Why? Maybe it's different in that case in Shabbos. The ikub bitul besamedrash. Because you have there the orchim bitul besamedrash. I will hachab the lakab bitul besamedrash. Like, here it's just you want to save them from the rain. There's no greater purpose involved. So maybe you shouldn't be maple so much. As opposed to there by Shabbos. Maybe they will allow you to move that much because you have bitul besamedrash. Maybe here not. Inami, or maybe you could say the other way around. Hasam hainu taima de abu v'chomash kupas shari. Why are you allowing as much as four or five boxes? Mishum Shabbos dechambira, because Shabbos is a very strict thing. Everybody knows how serious Shabbos is. V'loi osil azolzoli beis. So people won't come to treat it carelessly. Even if you're allowed to move five huge boxes like that, you're not going to think, therefore, to do malacha on Shabbos. Our yomtiv to kill, but yomtiv is more lenient because it's not chayv koros or skiller. The osil azolzoli beis. You might be mazalzel in it. Maybe klau klaloi. Maybe you should not be allowed to move any at all. Now, what do you mean any at all? The Mishnah had said you can move payers. So there's a lot of different explanations on that. One very simple one is we just mean, based on that Mishnah in Shabbos, you would not know you're allowed to do anything on Yom Tov. Or Mishnah, fine, you said you're allowed to do Mashilim, but still, maybe not as much as what it described there by Shabbos. Inami le'idach kisa, and we have yet another possibility. Hasam ha'ina time adalaka hefsid moment. In that case, there's no loss involved. Rabbi Hachadeh is a hefsid moment, but here there is a loss involved. Maybe you should be even allowed to do even more than four or five large boxes.
He meaning
in our Mishnah. So we don't know yet. And we'll leave the continuation of the discussion for tomorrow, Rabbi Hashem.